Hello, my name is Richard Mason. I'm a reporter at the Lough Aber Times. This is the first in what we hope will be a series of podcasts that dive a little deeper into stories from around the Lough Aber area. Today we're going to look at some new ideas in crofting and what can be done to keep the thousands of small holdings across the Scottish Highlands and Islands working and maintaining communities in rural areas. Over the last few decades, the marginal returns and hard work associated with crofting have meant that some have amalgamated to become bigger, whilst others have been completely abandoned. Crofters can no longer rely on just running their land to support themselves, and there needs to be new income streams to compete in the modern world. I took a trip to Darrick Croft in Strontien. It's a relatively new one, and the couple running it moved up from Lancashire. They're looking at innovative ideas for their croft. Sarah and Hugh Asher didn't just come up to Scotland for a bit of the good life, and they've got some experience in raising livestock. They both work closely with charities. Sarah's a qualified social worker, which gave them the idea to turn their 15 acres of land into a place where people with disabilities can come to get involved with animals and experience nature. Sarah did a lot of work with what's called a care farm in Lancashire. This gave her the idea of what is now being called a social crop.
A lot of therapeutic work with people who had masses of complex support needs and different disabilities, and seeing them really benefit from spending time in the gardens and getting really muddy some days, you know. And people grow up, and especially people with disabilities, from my experience, are protected. You go and you might look at something from a distance, you might sit and look out the window at the pretty garden, but do you ever go out and get absolutely covered in mud and really feel it and get that real connection? And so that, I think, is where it came from for me. It's that real connection with nature, and the animals are just part of that. If I use learning disabilities for an example, but I think that it goes across mental health, it goes across older age people, it goes across lots of anyone who accesses services, basically, sort of health and social care services. The services generally are focused around administration centres, so you're looking at cities, you're looking at Glasgow, Edinburgh, and quite often, like here, we find that everything's over in Inverness, which is fine, it's great if you live near Inverness.
Yeah.
Highland's a big place. And so it's sort of twofold. I want to open up the opportunities for people to explore at whatever level they want. They can come and just look at things and find that it's pretty. They can get hands-on and maybe even stroke one of the daft dogs that are running around. Or they can get really hands-on and help us maybe moving the sheep from one field to another. They can get hands-on with the fleeces. And it is bringing, opening up an opportunity for people who are quite often protected.
Right.
For usually good intentions, like you say, it's so that the service is accessible, so that the buildings are accessible, so that things are accessible. But a little bit of creative thinking, I really do believe that anyone can access anything. I'll give you a random example. Is things like I know down in Wales, one of my colleagues runs a project down in Wales, and she works with young people who use wheelchairs, and they just did a big surfing weekend. And so if you can adapt surfing for people who are wheelchair users, then I think anything's possible. And that's very much what I want to try and create here. Is we might have very muddy fields that a wheelchair won't go through, but potentially down the line, with some creative thinking, we can look at adaptive vehicles, we can look at different things to enable people to access that space. Like I say, we're in early stages now, but there's no boundaries for what folk can do.
While working on the care farm previously, Sarah saw those she was working with develop skills and knowledge through their work with the animals.
It's about seeing what they can do and the skills. Right. They've got loads. Yeah. And so it ended up where I'd run community days where the wider community could come to our project, but the people that we'd been supporting were actually delivering it. Right. And they were saying, right, come this way. No, you can't go in with the pigs there. You need to put these on and make sure you wash your boots as you come out, because we've had foot and mouth, and, you know. And so the people who have always been in receipt of services and being cared for or protected, like we were saying before, are suddenly delivering a service,
right,
because they've the skills that they've developed by coming to the care farm, as it was, or social croft, as it will be here, they develop skills that they can then pass on, and then that gives that person a worth that society doesn't place on people generally with disabilities. You know, they can be quite judged in a negative light, I think, from.
Sarah has some ideas for therapeutic activities to do with all the animals that will get people involved in the crofting way of life.
Try not to slide in the muck. But these, again, are jobs that anyone who wanted to come to the croft would actually get hands-on with the animals. And one of the things, because you can see they're quite friendly, they come up and say hello.
Yeah.
One of the things you can do is pig massage, which sounds really weird. Yep. Pigs can get really dry skin, and one of the things that a lot of horsey people know about is pig oil, and they use it on horses' legs. But it's actually used by pig breeders and keepers to maintain the skin of the pigs. And so you put a bit of oil on, it's like baby oil, and give them a pig massage. I've done it previously with a school group that came to the farm I worked on, and they thought it was hilarious. The pigs loved it. It means the pigs are getting handled and becoming used to it, so we can do health checks, because the friendlier and the more you can handle your animals, the better it is for the welfare, because you can check, sort of make sure they're fit and well. But yeah, pig massage is an option for social crofting. All our animals. And so you maybe learn how to hold a chicken safely.
Okay.
And then what? How to look at, make sure it's got clear eyes, make sure it's not got any respiratory stuff going on. There's loads of different things. So you've developed some skills and knowledge, as well as some of the confidence and self-esteem. So,
right.
Come and spend a morning with the sheep. We'd maybe round them up. We could walk them down the road to the other field, do a health check, we could feed them, we can have a look at the fencing, make sure that the fencing's all safe, which is what you have to do anyway if you've got sheep. And fencing doesn't usually help, because that man do escape quite a lot, regardless of fencing, they find a way. And then go back to the croft and do some work with the fleeces, and we'll have a look at the different textures and different things that we can do.
Interestingly, this new croft is also very active on Facebook. They share their progress and interact with others. They've even been making local connections to sell their produce.
On the hill. Whereas crofting now, it's not about self-sufficiency, because you've got different, all sorts of taxes to pay, and we are modern creatures. We were talking about this the other day, we need electricity. Just to even sell our meat, we need electricity, because we need to run our freezers. We to opt out of that, it's not about being off grid. We're not sort of planning to go off grid, but we do try and embrace the modern stuff, and it's been really, really beneficial, because obviously I think you've seen the Facebook page, and we've got the Darrock Croft website and the Darrock Croft Facebook page, and they have been great, because we were able to put little things out and share with people before, because at the moment the croft needs a bit of TLC and a little bit of tinkering before it's opened for visitors. But we've been able to share the journey, so people have started to buy into what we're doing. They've started to get to know some of the animals, and they get to see some of the pictures of things that we've been achieving over the last 12 months or so. So that's been priceless, really. So we've managed to get our name out. And it's working. For example, one of the big benefits is there's a hotel in Glencoe, the Bridge of Orchie Hotel, and their head chef, who's an award-winning chef, has been in touch, and we supply produce to them now. The local shops, we supply Kilhoe and Sharp, we supply We're just about to start supplying a Harrocle shops as well. And that's all been from the power of social media. And when we first got the little pigs, the first night they were out, they wouldn't go in the pig ark.
Right.
And we were like, oh, I'm really worried. What are we going to do? How are we? And we tried everything to just shove them in, and we're like, pick them, and they're straight out again. And it's like, right. And it was social media that enabled us to contact other people who said, oh, have you done this? And have you? And we got the advice, and they were back in the next night, which was fabulous because I was a bit worried about them. But yeah, power of social media means that our animals are getting the benefit of many people's knowledge, not just our own.
To get a broader view of what crofters are doing throughout the Highlands to maintain their way of life, I spoke to Lucy Beattie. She took the lead on the Scottish Crofting Federation's Gaining Ground project. This project is now collecting information from crofters to be stored in a central database. This will enable them to train new skills to maintain crofting as a way of life.
The idea is to have a digital hub. Unfortunately, because it's such a wide area, you know, to have a physical hub is harder, but luckily people's broadband does seem to be improving across most of the areas. So we thought if there was a digital platform where people could come together, and also we hope to sort of get some fact sheets from various different organisations, but we wanted the fact sheets to be very much led by the community that we're serving. So at our meetings, we've been discussing in focus groups and taking down note of what people really want to find out. And that can range from sort of setting up a social crofting enterprise, you know, maybe health and safety or risk assessment, to some more sort of skills that really aren't necessarily associated with crofting, you know, perhaps how to make a raised bed for people with limited access, or how to deliver an animal-assisted therapy type activity that perhaps focuses on one particular aspect. I don't know, whether it's mental health or additional support needs. So there's a whole range of different topics that people are interested in, and we're hoping that we can possibly signpost people to information that they can use straight away, and then also to other organisations where they might be able to get help. Crofting, by its very nature, is social, because it's a very community-based activity, and crofters are working in very remote and rural areas and marginal areas too. So without crofting, you wouldn't have community life in many areas of the Highlands and Islands. And what we've discovered so far by doing a few case studies and also by talking to people is that some operations are actually very well established and are offering social crofting perhaps as their primary activity. One example is Glachbeg Croft in North Keswick near Inverness, which has been established for over 20 years. Others are perhaps offering more voluntary models. There's a croft that we've come across. They harvest a lot of produce like tatties and so on, and they have a volunteer day on a Wednesday, and that might be accessed by people who perhaps aren't in work for various reasons, or who perhaps are needing, feeling the need to go outdoors for their own sort of mental and physical well-being. And then other models we've come across are people who are sort of just wanting to go into that, like a lady in Caithness who we've come across. She's an occupational therapist to trade, but she also runs a croft, and she wants to integrate the two things together. And of course, in your area, there's Darragh Croft, which they have multiple enterprises, but they're also looking to get into social crofting themselves. So I suppose it can be at various different levels, depending on whether you want to offer it as your primary activity or perhaps something that's ancillary to what you're already doing.
Crofters have needed to be adaptable since this form of small-scale farming started. Here's the chief executive of the Crofting Federation, Patrick Curse.
You know, the people that I've met that are doing social crofting, that there is that element, you know, that it helps if it's bringing some money in, but it's a social conscience sort of thing as well, very strongly, I think. You know, crofters have always been known for trying different things, you know, and having multiple income streams, and, you know, I mean, some people people sort of use that as a definition of crofting. Right. Even, you know, I remember hearing an agricultural economist saying some years ago, as things were starting to get tighter in the farming businesses, and an agricultural economist saying farmers are going to have to learn to be crofters, and he meant, you know, you can't rely just on a single farming income anymore. Right. You're going to have to look at other income streams. And a lot of crofters say, you know, don't talk to us about diversification, you know, like it's some new idea, because that's what crofters have been doing for generations, you know, forever, is they survive on multiple income streams. So most crofters have at least one other job, often two or three other jobs, as well as crofting. I mean, part of that historically is that when people were cleared from the better land and put onto crofts, you know, in the more peripheral areas, the crofts were deliberately designed to be, or the croft in-by was designed to be too small to raise a family on. And the idea was that crofters would then have to go to landlords and offer their labour.
Adapting to new things is the heart and soul of crofting. Crofters are now producing unique products like goat's milk soap on Skye, and some are even growing tea in Scotland. They're using the internet to sell this new produce. Adaptability is key to its survival, as it has always been. Small-scale agriculture means a small carbon footprint. If you have the ability to support a local croft, or even a group of crofters, then you are helping to maintain rural communities across the Highlands and Islands of Scotland. If you have an idea you would like to hear a podcast about, then come into our office on the High Street in Fort William. Or get in contact with us. We're available on social media or through our website, opentimes.co.uk. Goodbye for now.